Thank you, Brian. Forgive all my notes. Usually there's something larger to hide all these, but I love winter. A winter weather advisory, apparently. I love the intensity of the cold, the beautiful white crystalline snow on the wind as it blows, even the ice that coats the trees and turns the forest into a crystalline forest. In the early morning sun, rainbows bounce off the branches. Admittedly, I'm in the minority, and admittedly, I'm part polar bear at heart. It's a matter of dressing appropriately in layers. I tease Pastor Derek, who complains that it's too cold with only two thin layers on. I tell him next time we go to Honduras, we go to the beach, I'm going to wear a snow parka and complain that it's much too hot. The question is, what is appropriate in every season? I brought a guest with me this morning. He helped me with this message, or I helped him with this message. I'm not exactly sure. We've known each other for, about 20 years. Worked at the food bank for 5 years. And the freezers, about the size of this room, maybe a little bit bigger, 10 degrees below zero every day. Now, some might say he's only a stuffed polar bear, but I'm inclined to disagree. He's actually quite real. Anyway, at 10 degrees below zero, who's going to disagree with a polar bear? While we were working on this message, a most peculiar thing, a most curious thing happened. We received a card in the mail, quite unsolicited, I can assure you, from a polar bear. The card says, "Advice from a polar bear." And on the back it says, "Advice for life." We will share the contents of this card with you at the conclusion of this message. What a curious time, what a peculiar time, winter of the soul. Christmas, the end of a year, the beginning of a new year, all within 7 days. In a sense, a beginning, Christmas, an ending, the year past, to a new year. A new year beginning in time, all tied together. When one says, "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year," what does that mean? What is God's gift at Christmas? Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, writing in the 8th century before the birth of that baby boy, put it this way: "Darkness turns into light. Emmanuel, God is with us." From that time on, don't dwell on the past. Everything is new. Does anyone know what occurred 4 days before Christmas? If they were a polar bear, they'd know. It's the winter solstice. It's the first day of winter. It is the longest night and the shortest day. From that time on, light conquers darkness. John put it this way in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, the final page of this book. And he's writing about the period between two Advents, the birth of that baby boy, and the second Advent, when Christ comes back as a Messiah, warrior, king. And he says this, "The one who wishes, take the free gift, the water of life." It's an invitation, but it's also a warning. There'll be a second time, a final time, and a final page. Christ put it this way in the final page, "I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the beginning and I'm the end." The question is, what happened in between that baby boy and the coming of the Messiah, warrior, king? John records Christ saying this in the 8th chapter of his gospel. Christ is speaking to the religious leaders of the time. And he said, "Why don't you believe who I am? Why don't you believe that God sent me? Your father is the devil. You do not belong to God." Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Paul put it this way in his letter to the Church of Rome. He said, and he's talking about men, women, all, and their idols, their misplaced values. He said, they exchange the glory of the immortal God for idols. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Peter put it this way, "Now there's a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." They crucified that baby boy when he became a man. But with that, now we have gained the power of the resurrection. We've gained the power to transform and change not only the circumstances of our own life, but that of the world around us. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Winter of the soul, love grows cold. Matthew, in the 24th chapter of his gospel, speaks about this event. Jesus and the disciples are walking from the temple compound, eventually to the Mount of Olives. And as they're walking through the temple compound, the disciples are looking at the temple and they say, "Look at this. Isn't the architecture amazing? Isn't this incredible? These huge stones laid upon stone. Isn't this just magnificent?" And Jesus turns to them and says, "Do you see? Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone will be placed upon another. Every one of them will be thrown down." They get to the Mount of Olives and they sit down, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, "What? When? And Jesus says this, watch out. There is a deception about. Increasing conflict, and it's only just begun. Hatred, betrayal, false prophets, and you'll be tempted to believe. And most will turn away from the faith. Increase of wickedness, increase of evil, and the love of most will grow cold. It's winter that leads to the end. But Christ says this, but the one who stands firm to the end, doesn't run away, doesn't hide away, doesn't fly away, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Isaiah, again, 8 centuries before that baby boy being born, warned of impending winter. And again, he's talking about man and his gods, his arrogance, and his self-righteousness, and his hypocrisy, and his make-believe values, and make-believe truths. And let me just say this, everyone has a God. Whether you're an atheist who says there is no God, or agnostic who says I see no proof of God, or the indifferent, everyone has a God. And they worship it even though they wouldn't call it worship. And they have faith in it even though they would not say they have faith. And God says this through Isaiah, I'm the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. And Isaiah writes, all who make idols are nothing. And the things they treasure are worthless. Those who would speak up for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shame. Who shapes a god or casts an idol which can profit nothing? God says this throughout his word. There's no excuse for this winter, for this love that has grown cold. Through the prophet Isaiah, he asks all humanity to answer 5 questions, no exceptions. The first, do you not know? Second, have you not heard? Third, has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was formed? Lift up your eyes and look to heavens. To the heavens. Who created all of this? David, 2 centuries before, writes this in the 19th Psalm. And again, this is God writing this to all humanity throughout the world from beginning to end. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, and yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. No excuse. We have become deaf. We don't even speak the same language as the universe that God created. In the book of Job, the 38th chapter, the book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. It's an ancient story. It may be familiar that God summons the angels and Satan comes to God. And Satan has an accusation to make about this man, Job. You consider him a righteous man. Not a perfect man, but a righteous man. But of course he's righteous. Of course he loves you. You bless him. You protect him. Let me have him. Let me have him. And he will curse you to your face. And God says, okay. It's just one thing. You can't kill him. And so with that, Job's life is reduced to ashes. And three friends come along. And they question God and they question Job. Surely God's punishing Job for his sin. That's how God works. And Job is at the point where he almost is wondering, questioning God, questioning himself as well in all of this. And finally, God puts his foot down. And he speaks to Job out of a storm. And this is a reply to Job. This is a reply to every man. This is a reply to the three friends. This is a veiled reply to Satan. God says out of the storm, who's this who darkens my plans, who obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I'll question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I formed the earth? Surely you understand. It's important to know your place in the universe. Everyone will be questioned, and everyone better be ready for an answer. There are two biblical perspectives, two worldviews that are essential to understanding the winter of the soul. Most Christians understand these. Outside of the faith, I would say you do not. There are philosophical and theological terms for these perspectives. The Bible is eschatological in perspective, and that means this, is that the Bible is concerned with final things. It's concerned with an end. It's concerned with things being fulfilled. And second, the Bible is teleological in perspective. And it means that everything has a focus. Everything has a goal to it. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a design. It's true of your individual lives. It's true of the lives of everyone sitting around you. It's true of the human condition, and that means it applies to everyone. It applies to the cumulative force of human history. Nothing exists outside of these two perspectives. Peter put it this way: the end of all things is near. And he speaks about six things that must be adhered to be able to navigate the winter of the soul. First, be alert and sober-minded when you pray. Pray with seriousness and don't get distracted. Secondly, love deeply, sincerely, not superficially. Third, don't grumble or complain. Be content, not self-indulgent. Fourth, use your gifts to serve. Get in the game and stop sitting it out. Fifth, speak, but speak the very words of Christ. Be thoughtful, or be quiet. And sixth, serve. Serve with the strength that God provides. Lean on Him, not on yourself. And so how do you know when winter's over? God tells us this in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. And He says this, "The end will come when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after He has destroyed all dominion, all authority, all power. Christ reigns until all His enemies are under His feet. Death and Satan are under His feet. Everything is under His feet, so that God may be all in all." And He will be. No exceptions. Winter of the soul. And so, what a curious time. What a peculiar time. The question is, what is real? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Something new, Christmas, leads to an end, time past, that in turn brings about something new, totally new, absolutely new. These things will never return in the same form again. We've reached a point of no return. God put it this way in the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. There'll be signs. Watch out. Increasing conflict, increasing persecution. Faith will take a nosedive. Betrayal and falsehood will elevate. And love will grow cold. All for the lack of what is real. C.S. Lewis, in his classic work, Mere Christianity, put it this way. The question is, what is real about you? He writes, there must be a real giving up of the self. You must throw it away blindly, so to speak. This principle runs through all of life from top to bottom. Give up yourself, and you'll find your real self. Lose your life, and you will save it. Submit to death, the death of your ambitions, the death of your favorite wishes every day, the death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you'll find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing you've not given away will ever, ever be really yours. Nothing that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you'll find Him, and with Him, everything else thrown in. C.S. Lewis and the polar bear that sent this card have a lot in common. The inspiration of God, number one. Advice from a polar bear, advice for life. First, live large, beyond yourself. Secondly, be thick-skinned. You're going to have to stay warm in this frozen winter wasteland. Third, sniff out opportunities. They're everywhere, all the time. Your very life and that of others will depend upon it. Fourth, learn some good icebreakers. It's the only way you're going to make it through without freezing to death yourself. Fifth, be fearless. Everyone else is going to be scared, frozen, stiff. Stand your ground. And finally, keep cool. Exclamation point. You know how to survive. You know how to thrive in this weather, in this season. The card is blank inside. All that's required is your reply. Let us pray. Lord, Father, Holy Spirit, we just we thank you for the warmth that you provide. Through your word, through the church, through Holy Communion, through one another. We pray to not only survive the winter, but also to thrive through it. And so, for these things and even more, in Christ's name, Lord, Father, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.